Well, we're looking at Stephen this month, Stephen's legacy of love. You know, a legacy is something that doesn't just sit there and say something about a person, it motivates the next generation or generations thereof to do something and to pick up the torch and run with it. And that's I don't know, every time I read the story of Stephen, I just get all charged up again. Do you? I mean, it was incredible. And the incredible thing is that he didn't just get born again so that he could just do the same thing he always did, just to be the same old person, to think the way he used to think, to settle for things the way he used to settle. No, he didn't do that. He did it when he got born again. It was to do something. And the words that he spoke to the people there, it says he was among them. He fellowshiped with them. And he had a good, it says he had an honest report. That means they could trust him. He had a great reputation. The things that he did among them were empowered by not just him, but by them who trusted him. When he proclaimed the word of God, the word of faith to people, faith rose in their hearts. That's why he was able to do the wonders and the signs that he did. Same thing with Jesus. When he went to Nazareth, he could there do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief. You know that, and then it says he went around he could do no mighty miracles, except he went around the villages teaching them. Well, if somebody has no, if they suffer from unbelief, that means they don't know the word. So what did he do? He went around the village and teach them. Praise God. You know, we need the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, not just to get born again, but every day thereafter, we need the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit all the time. He was full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, let me just do some review here about some of those attributes that we see in Stephen that caused him to be so powerful. He was among them. He was in fellowship with them. Where two or three are gathered together, he is there in the midst. The high priestly ministry, the intercessory ministry, and all the ministries of Jesus are activated when we are together. He had a good reputation. They trusted him. And their trust gave the Holy Spirit free course to do mighty wonders and miracles through Stephen. Faithful. He was faithful. Man, he took it to the wall too, didn't he? He did. You know, we've got to get that way. If this message of the gospel is going to get out through me, and if it costs my life, fine. You know, what can this world offer me that God can't? Amen. All right? That's a legacy. That's something worth dying for. That's something worth living for. That's something worth everything. If it was worth everything to Jesus to get us into heaven, and it's worth, and for that same message through Stephen, if it was worth it to him to give his life, don't you think it's worth it to us to count? Paul said, I count my life as but dung. I mean, that's soft language to what he really wrote there. I'm not going to go into it. You can fill in that yourself. Or let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. You know, we passed a sign, this billboard on the way down to Virginia about this place called Uranus. Did you see that billboard?
Yes.
Okay, he saw that billboard. Anyhow, that's what we're up to.
What did it say underneath it?
Well, it said it was a chocolate factory and it was fudge and everything, and the best chocolate and the best fudge come from Uranus. So that was the name of the chocolate shop, was Uranus, like the planet Uranus. Oh, you guys got to clean your minds. But that's exactly what it meant. It was a Holy Ghost laugh. We couldn't stop laughing. We were chuckling the whole way. But with that, Stephen was faithful. He was also a servant. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you shall be the servant of all. That's where you find power. That's where the helps ministry kicks in and the Holy Spirit starts working through you. He was a leader. The diligent hand shall rule. He was a model of diligence. Stephen was. He was also full of faith. That means in order to be full of faith, you got to be full of what? The Word. The Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. He had to be speaking it. He had to be hearing it. He had to be fellowshipping the Word with the people that he was among. No Word, no faith. But if you know the Word, you know faith. And faith knows you. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. That was obvious that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of grace and power. God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Grace and power. You know, there without grace, there is no power. Because you know what faith does? Faith takes what God has already provided by grace. And that's the power that's released when we receive the things that God left for us. He performed great signs and wonders. He was a man of great wisdom. So it says that they could not resist the spirit and the wisdom by which he spoke. That word resist means to oppose. It means they couldn't oppose him. All of their little fortune cookie rabbinical little poems, little riddles, just fell like compared to the wisdom that they just heard out of this guy. And it just put, and so they couldn't come back with anything. So what they do is, this is what cancel culture does. It did it back then. People are no different then than now. Right. And so the cancel culture, they'll if they can't refute you, they'll kill you. Yeah. They'll hurt you. Yeah. They'll continue to put fear into you, yeah, so that you'll shut up. And if you don't shut up, they'll hit. And if they hit, it says, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake, Jesus said. You are blessed. When they came back, when Peter and John came back from being beaten in the temple and they were warned, don't speak in that name anymore. you know where that coming from. It says they recounted, they rejoiced in that they counted themselves worthy to suffer persecution. That tells you you're on the right road. If you're not see any persecution, you know, if you're always going the way of the easy road, where there's no argument, no, what does it say? Cursed are you when all men say something good about you? No, did everybody say good things about Jesus? Had a lot of enemies. Why? Because the truth is hard to swallow, especially when you're locked up in a religious position that's full of corruption. You're exposed. The truth exposes it. So he didn't have too many. So Stephen had great wisdom. Man, I would have loved to. We'll talk to him later. In the midst of false accusations, he had the face of an angel. We talked about what our face would look like if somebody was lying about us to a judge downtown. It would, you know, what's inside will come out. That's the subtitle of this message here today. And he also showed great respect. He knew he was being accused falsely. And he said, men, brothers, and fathers. He called them. You see, Jesus said, honor what they say because they sit in the seat of Moses, but don't honor what they do. Don't do as they do because they say and don't do. They're hypocrites. So don't do what they say because they say and don't do. But honor the seat because it's the seat of Moses. And you know what? If we show disrespect to authority that God has established, that seat of Moses, you know, he was under the conviction. If anybody is going to show disrespect in here, it's not going to be me. I'm going to raise the level of respect to what honors God in this place. Amen? Amen. Okay. So he showed great respect. You know, this is what we need to do. When we open the Word of God, like I said before, it's not so that we can be cerebral giants and just know all there is to know about the Word and be great learners of the Word. No, the Word was given to us so that we could be doers of the Word. We need to be doers of the Word, because faith is acting on the Word, and if you don't act on it, it's dead faith. That's what James goes into. There is a faith that is dead. Stephen, he lived it. He lived it. He saw something in it that was so more powerful than any reason why he shouldn't act on it. And that's the way we need to get. Thank you for that thunderous silence. He was also a man of covenant. He understood the covenant. He explained it to them in that long address in Acts chapter 7. He showed them that the reason that God called Abraham out of Chaldea into Haran and into the promise was the covenant that would bring Messiah into the world. That was it. That doesn't make the Jewish people any more special than anybody else. But God will honor that because he made a covenant with them. But what it is he raised them up in order to bring Messiah into the world. He had them in Egypt to incubate them into a great nation. And then when he released them, it was to give them a promised land, which most of them that were in Egypt never went into, only Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they had faith. They had faith. Faith gets you into the promises. Faith gets you into the blessings. Faith gets you into the benefits. Faith gets you into the provisions of the New Testament. Faith. Hallelujah. And how do you get faith? The Word. He was a student of the Word. But not just to hear it only, but to do it. He was a covenant man. He also was a man of the Word. We knew that because he cited the whole thing to him. The whole purpose behind the Word. So you can tell, he was sinking himself in the flow of the Word. Whichever way the Word was going, that's what he flowed in. And he took the new covenant that Jesus was fulfilled in Jesus. The Abrahamic covenant was really the covenant that Jesus fulfilled. And he brought it to the next level. Under great persecution, Stephen called upon the Lord. You know, when you're under pressure, we find out really what we do believe. We find out how strong we really are. You know, Peter, under pressure, denied the Lord 3 times. I was writing a song. Peter warmed himself one night by the fires of this life. The embers glowed warm and bright, carrying him into a lullaby. And suddenly the questions come. No time to think, nowhere to run. Trying to blend with all of them, deny the Lord 3 times instead. Get away from the fires of this world, the fires of this life, the things that warm your soul, the things that are, just understand that those are finite things. They have a terminal point to them. You have an eternal nature now. And nothing in this world can satisfy an eternal nature. There's nothing in it. It's empty. It's a sack of air. Under great persecution, Stephen called upon the Lord. You know, there are many ways that what's in our heart will come out. Especially under pressure, especially under great stress, when you feel threatened, when you feel like, let me out of here. How did I get into this? You're looking for a way out. No, we are looking for a way to fulfill the Word of God in our life, fulfill the calling in our life. Doesn't matter what situation we're in. We are there to fulfill our calling, whatever that may be. Praise God. We reveal what's in our hearts through our facial expressions. You have the faces of angels. Wear it proudly. Body language, words, what we say and how we say it, our tone of voice, our reactions and responses, our gestures. Oh. What we say and what we don't say, too. You know, this is how you quench the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, it's what we say or do. But quench, that word quench, literally means to smother. And how we smother the Holy Spirit is many times by what we don't say. How we don't respond rightly. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit is the nurturing part of the mother side of God. Amen. And well, I won't go there. Well, maybe I should. And you see, the mother side of God is the feminine side of women are in the details. Men aren't. You ever notice that, ladies? You ever notice that women are in the details, guys? Oh, yeah. And you know, that sensitivity of them, it's not so much what you say, gentlemen, it's what you leave out. It's what you don't say. They tune in on that, too. And they read it through their own, they filter it through their own understanding. Which a long relationship with you has given them that. So they can read, and I'm working on that, darling. Yeah, I'm working on that, sweetheart. I'm working on it. But I want you to know, a lot of times it's not what we say, it's how we don't respond, how we don't act can quench the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean he's not active in you. It just means that that's not pleasing to him. But you know what? If you're a cop, and you put on that uniform, you put on that badge, and you go out in traffic and stop traffic, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you did last week. You have that badge. You have that authority. God gave it to you. He doesn't take it back. He's already paid for the sin. I'm not justifying you go out and sin. No, because if you do, you're going to reap the bad stuff because you open up doors to the devil. That's all. But you don't close doors to God because of it. I want you to know you can run to him. But a lot of people, when they get under pressure and everything, they turn on God rather than turn into him. And the devil will come and mess everything up, blame it on God. And said, no, you see how stupid your God is? How stupid you are to follow a God like that? And he didn't even do it. So they've been saying about Job, well, God did that to him. No, the devil did it. And in fact, if you look at the real Hebrew words when it says, have you seen my servant Job? How good he is. The real Hebrew, if you go to Young's literal translation of that Hebrew, it says, have you set your hand against my servant Job? He knew what was going on. He knew what Satan was up to. And he could say the same thing to Satan about you. Have you set your hand against my servant, whoever you are? He stands before the throne. This is New Testament, Revelation. He stands before the throne day and night, accusing the brethren. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he does that all the time. But there's a lot of ways that we let what's in our heart out and reveal it to people without even knowing it. What we should be doing is figuring out, Lord, show me how I can tell that person how much you love them. Show me how much I can do for them. Show me how much I can serve them, how I can honor you and promote your blessing in their life. When you live to bless others, God will bless you back. Why? Because that's his system of justice. You show mercy, you get mercy. You show blessing, you get blessing. You sow into their lives of your resources, God sows into your life of his resources. And his resources are big. Big, 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 big. You know, I think of Stephen's situation. In every instance, when God speaks to us, you know what comes along with his word? His presence. There's an anointing there. in his presence. It's like, and it brings us to a place where we can receive his word and what he's saying to us.
Amen.
Stephen's no different. He's standing there and he knows the jig is up. I mean, he was halfway through his sermon there before the Sanhedrin, and he figured out, God revealed it to him, hey, these guys are going to kill you. And he wasn't, he decided he's going out with pistols blazing. Let's go there. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And he's getting down this. He's going through Abraham. He's going through Joshua. He's going through all of these things. And then he gets to verse 48. Well, he goes to, he said, verse 45, he said, verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle in the wilderness, tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking to Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that was had been seen, which also our fathers that came forth, that came after, brought with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of their fathers under the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built the temple. And then he turned the corner. Stephen did. And he brought this thing home. And he said this, verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as the prophet said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, whom you have now been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out, listen to this, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Talk about a bunch of brats who couldn't get their little way. Well, until the grace of God came into our life, we would have been just like them. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Amen. And ran on him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And in his dying breath, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. They killed him because they couldn't out-argue him or out-manipulate him with their little rabbi type of cookie-cutter, fortune cookie wisdom of men. I want you to look at something. Remember when Jesus said at the Last Supper, whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, whoever sins you retain are retained unto them? Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. Where did the people lay their clothes, their coats? At the feet of Saul. Stephen literally loosed the forgiveness and mercy of God on Saul. You have that same power.
Amen.
If Stephen had it, you had it. And if God can take a ruthless murderer like Saul of Tarsus, yes, and make him the greatest of all the apostles, who gave us the most complete explanation of the gospel that the world possesses, what can he do with your life? Don't count your life as other men do. Try to get all they can, and whoever dies with the most toys wins. Let the winds of the Holy Spirit just erase that from your mind. You have nothing if you don't have Jesus. Without Jesus, you know nothing. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you have nothing. I got scripture for all of those. But with Jesus, you can do all things. With him, you have everything. You lack nothing. But here's the thing. You've got to initiate it. God's already given it. Turn with me to Matthew 16. I don't think I included this. Maybe I did. Did I include that, Stephen?
No.
Okay. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus said, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth is loosed in heaven." Look at this. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Who was I talking to about this recently? The keys of the kingdom of heaven, God has already given them to you. They work through your words. So here's the thing. I will give you, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Who is in possession of those keys? Three. Do I have four? Five. Well, he's given it to all of us. You have those keys. Whatever you bind on earth, who's on earth? We are. If earth doesn't initiate anything, God has, heaven has nothing to answer. We've got to take the word and do it. Take the word and show it and speak it to the world. Let's go down to Times Square, New York. I've been there before. It is so mixed up and confused with the world's vomit. That is... Listen, that's the world that Jesus came into. That's the world where the Brooklyn Tabernacle was formed. And that one Easter Sunday, this guy came in. He was a homeless guy, just stinking of urine, stinking of everything. And he went up to Jim Cimbala, the pastor, and he just hugged him. He says, "You got to do something for me, because if I go out those doors again, I'm going to die." And just about the time he was about ready to say, "Look, usher, you know, security, take him," the Lord spoke to him and said, "That's the smell I died for."
Wow.
And that guy was promoted. He's now the head of all the security at Brooklyn Tabernacle. Entrusted. God entrusted his word to Saul, the Apostle Paul. What can't he do in your life? Give him the reins. Say, "Lord, let me do this day. Let me do it right today. Right by you and your standards." Sacrifice your own standards. You have no standards as a human being. You do not. But when God's word comes into your life, he starts constructing things. And whatever you bind on earth, he comes along and he binds on your behalf. But if you don't initiate it, he has nothing to do. I mean, he's a perfect gentleman. There was one time, I forget where I heard, it was a lady, she's a lady evangelist, I believe. And she said, "I was sitting in a meeting one time, and Jesus came down the aisle, I knew he was coming, and he stood right next to me. And I just kept quiet all this time, but I knew he was there. And you know, with the presence, sometimes you just don't know what to do. She said, after about 3 or 4 minutes, she said, "Oh Lord, what would you have me do?" And then he just walked on. She realized later that she didn't initiate anything. She didn't say what was really on her heart, and I'd like to do, and I'd like to see you perfect this in my life or whatever. Initiate it, don't just freeze. I remember one morning Jesus was standing in my room, Lori was in the bathroom, and I just started laughing. And she said, "Bob, what are you laughing about?" I said, "Jesus is here." And I didn't see him, but he was there. You know, you can tell when you're in the presence of Jesus. I've been in the presence of angels too, and I know their presence, but this was Jesus. And there was something radically changed in my life right then, right there. Radically changed. And it's a little sacred for me to share with you, but with anybody else, just Lori and me. And you need to know that he is so readily available. If all it is help me, you know what it is. He knows what it is. You don't have to articulate too much. Just know. But if you don't initiate it, he has nothing to bind and he has nothing to loose. Amen. He's a perfect, perfect gentleman. He will not force his way on anybody. You've got to initiate it. You've got to understand that he is there to do what you say. He's your high priest. He is already your advocate with the Father. He is the mediator of the new covenant and all the blessings of it. If we don't initiate anything from that new covenant, all those provisions, those promises, those blessings, those benefits, he has nothing to answer. You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Bring heaven to earth, amen. Saul of Tarsus was there when Stephen, and I believe that that ate at him, and it angered him, and it frustrated him, because he couldn't kill it. He couldn't stop it. He couldn't do it until he came to Damascus, and that light hit. The glory of God shone round about him, and it blinded him. They had to lead him away by the hand. Hopefully, that will never happen to you and me. Hopefully, we will be obedient enough to say, "Lord, have your way with me this day." Let's just say this. The blessing of God is upon me. And it causes me to prosper. The favor of God is upon me. And creates opportunities for that to happen. Psalm 37, verse 23, says, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord." Therefore, because the Holy Spirit indwells me, guides me, I am always in the right place, at the right time, fully equipped, and furnished unto every good work in Christ. The blessing, the favor, the power, you have it. Amen. Father, you're wonderful. Thank you for wonderful worship and for being here with us today, as you always are. But sometimes you just manifest your presence in an undeniable way. And when my feet are stuck to the floor, I know that it's you. When I can't move. Because it's just too good. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we dismiss today, we carry with us truth that will liberate us. We carry a word that is alive and cannot be squashed. It cannot be. Let that live big enough so that when we're squeezed, the word will come out. When we feel the pressure, the word will come out. When we feel threatened, the word will come out. We won't stand there in silence, frozen, but we will be filled with the joy of knowing that we'll count it all joy. And when we're filled with your joy, we know that the word will come out. 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 And whatever happens after that, He's fine with us because nothing can change the fact that you're our Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.